chapter 13. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. The last chapter of the book of Hebrews. One wonders what one can say after 2 days together and as a last voice at the conference, half the audience gone. And so I'm not going to say very much, but what I'm going to say is extremely important. As important as any other speaker that has spoken, and that's for the reason that it's the same precious Word of God, suited for some here and some there. Not everything fits all of us. One is used to reach a few, another is used to reach another few. The various gifts that God raises up are for the edification of all His people, a little here, a little there. And so I'm just going to read the first few verses of the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, with a few comments in closing. One might call this little message closing exhortations. Closing exhortations. That will not be a record message. It won't be a record point. It'll just be closing exhortations. That's all. We've heard some wonderful messages. This will just be closing exhortations. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Very, very many places, brotherly love is not thriving too well. There's feeling, there's friction, there's coldness, there is opposition, there is criticism. There are so many hurtful things going on. And nobody is to blame for this exactly, as human beings, because this is the kind of creatures we are. And one certainly wouldn't want to blame God for it, because God cannot be blamed with these things. If blame lies any place, one could blame the devil. The next person one can blame is oneself. Do not blame anybody else. Let brotherly love continue. In spite of differences, in spite of different views, in spite of different operations, in spite of little differences that come and creep in and that the majority seem to press upon us, oh brothers and sisters, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Think of Solomon, the wise Solomon. When a woman laid on her baby, and there was another woman whose baby was well, she secretly took the woman's baby and made it pretend as though the other woman had laid on her baby. What would Solomon say about this? Whose baby is it? What strange accusation? What's the solution to the problem? Solomon says it very simple. Give me a knife, I'll cut the baby in half, and each can have a half, and you'll be both happy. The one says, go ahead, divide the thing. The other says, oh no, give it to the other lady, give it to the other lady, give it. Let brotherly love continue. Let motherly love continue. Let fatherly love continue. Give it to the other. Give it to the other. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Thank you for the hospitality that you've shown at this conference. To Dutchmen and to other foreigners. Thank you very much. The Lord will reward you for this. He perhaps won't reward you very much for entertaining my wife, but he'll reward you an awful lot for entertaining me. My wife is a pleasant person to have around. I'm more difficult. I say too many things that I think. And so it's very difficult for people to put up with me. Thank you very much. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. The Lord will reward you for that. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Be sure that I'm no angel that you have entertained. But there are angels amongst those that you entertain. I know of one, and could perhaps think of a few others. You've entertained some angel. Thank you very much. We say thank you. The Lord reward you. And may in the will of God, if the Lord be not come, and another opportunity for such a conference of Christians from many different places, may it be rewarding and blessed and fruitful to you again. Remember them which are in bonds, fellow believers. I had the privilege of spending a week recently with dear brother Dan Smith, spent 15 years in China and some 7 years in India. Now residing in California, you know, he's been here, he's been other places, he's a dear brother in Christ. He has told me of the sufferings that are going on in China. He has felt some of those sufferings. Hundreds and thousands of people, beloved sisters and brothers in Christ, are suffering today. Suffering today. Remember those who are in bonds. Pray for the fellow brothers and sisters who are in prison, suffering for the martyrdom of Christ. I mean, as Brother Walden says, the witnessing for Christ. The witness is a martyr. A martyr is a witness. They're witnessing. They're martyrs. They're living martyrs. Remember those who are in bonds. And if we remember these who are in bonds, it's going to spur us on to follow them in their work and in their activities, and to sympathize with the sufferings of Christ and with those who suffer for his name's sake. Remember them as which are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Our bodies are very frail and weak, and we become infirm, and we're aging, and aches and pains are coming. One of the men ministering on the platform here said to me, you know, I used to be a strong man when I was young, but he said, I'm no longer. I feel very weak physically. This is infirmity coming on. All of us are subject to it. We all have our physical, mental infirmities that are coming upon us. Let's be considerate one of another. Let's help one another in this place of suffering and groaning. Rather pessimistic way of looking at it, but it's what it is. It's a place of suffering and groaning. Weep with those who weep, and rejoice with those who rejoice. Think of those who have their loved ones snatched away from them. Feel with them in their bonds, in their difficulties, in their adversities. Be a sympathizer, a comforter. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. That simply means family life has a high priority with God. Father, mother, children, husband, wife, children. Family life has a high priority with God. It's basic. In all social welfare and every successful structure of life. In this country, it's rapidly breaking up. Divorce, separations, frictions, feelings, adulteries, fornications, all the irregularities of sex today. How can we possibly avoid the awful judgment of Almighty God in the very near future. O young people, preserve the sanctity of your life. Men and women, remember that family life is very basic. Preserve it, hold it, be drawn together. We're living in a world of vice, rapidly approaching the days of Sodom and Gomorrah when the judgment of God obliterated them. Obliterated them. They've never found remnants of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was washed out because of the awful sin of this kind. Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. Family life is very important. But whoremongers and adulterers, those who are irregulars in sex activity, God will judge. God will judge them. You won't avoid the judgment of God, and you can't escape it. It's going to come. Christian or no Christian, it's going to hit you, the judgment of God. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. Don't seek to be a millionaire. Just work for food and raiment and something wherewithal to give to those who have a need and be content. Be content. Just work for a fair wage in the society in which you're living. And be careful that you're not living beyond your means. Don't desire more than you can get. Live a little bit lower than you can afford so that you'll be able to give to others who have a need. The poor, those who need the gospel, the workers for the Lord, the work for the Lord. Live below your means, not above your means. Live as far below it as is comfortable and convenient without being a black eye in the society in which you're living. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't speak simply of getting things. Don't live like you want to get things. Don't make others feel that you're only after getting things. Be ready to give and to distribute. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that lovely? Our brother Will Pell says that that can be read forwards and backwards just as well, either way. Thee forsake nor thee leave, never will I. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that nice? You can read it forwards and backwards. What lovely, lovely promise this is. The Lord will never leave you. He will never leave you. He will always be with you. He's in you. He's above you. He represents you. You are his. He's yours. He will never leave you nor forsake you. How wonderful this is. So don't be worried about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. Just do what you can honorably before God. And God will sustain you and keep you and guide you and give you wisdom. And if you lack wisdom, ask of him and he will give it to you. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Oh, that we may be more individualistic before God. Do not be drowned in society. Stand as an individual before God. Believe what you believe and say what you say and say what you think and help others and don't be afraid. The fear of man bringeth a snare. If fellow believers need reproach, reproach them lovingly and gently and kindly but firmly. Don't hold back. Let's give and take for one another and from one another. Let's do each other good. Let's not all flow down the river to destruction. Let's salvage what there is to be salvaged and strengthen the things that remain and hold fast to those things that you have. Oh, brethren and sisters, don't be afraid what man will do unto you. I pray God constantly, God, keep me from being afraid of man. But, oh God, keep me loving man so that I may not harm him, so that I may do all I can to help him, but not be afraid of those who may turn out to be enemies or who may secretly stab in the back. Don't be afraid of man. If somebody stabs you in the back, die happily. Thank God that you were faithful. Thank God that you didn't fear. And thank God you didn't hate anybody. Thank God you came to bless and to help and not to hurt. Don't be afraid of man. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Remember them which have the rule over you. One thinks of faithful servants like the late Arthur B. Rogers. One thinks of Mr. James Gilbert. And I think of two who have spent many years here in Omaha. There are many, many others one could mention. Men who have had the work of the Lord on their hearts. Many who have come and gone. Men of God. I noticed on the conference leaflet here that this is the 55th conference. Just think. 55 years. Why, I'm not that old yet. These conferences started long before I was born. What am I doing here speaking? I ought to be listening. However, I don't suppose there are many living here today who were here at the conferences 55 years ago. 55 conferences have come and gone, led by men of God who were no nitwits, who knew what direction they were going, who went by the word of God, who were men of high stature, spiritual ability, and who sought the face of God. And I understand they were open conferences, a little bit different this year. Today, it's a closed conference. Different. But how wonderful that the transfer has been as peaceful as it is. Changes. These men for 55 years were no novices. Changes are not always good. A change doesn't necessarily lead to more spirituality. Oh, brethren and sisters, consider those who have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God. Be careful what you're doing. Be sure that you're prayerfully producing for the glory of God. Or otherwise it will come to naught. No blessing will result. You can't kid God. You've got to move along with the Spirit of God and be subject to the Word of God and simply live humbly in the presence of God. Changes don't produce spirituality. A new building doesn't do it. A new program doesn't do it. New people coming in don't do it. It takes more than that. It takes the humility before God, a crying upon one's face before the Lord. It takes reviving of soul, rejuvenation of spirit. Oh, brethren, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, whose faith mimic. Their lives might not be perfect, but be sure you follow their faith. As they followed Christ, so follow them. Says the Apostle Paul, be ye followers of me, as I am of Christ. Young people, follow those who are following Christ. Follow those who are following Christ. Follow their faith. for his name's sake. Considering the end of their conversation, considering their way of life, considering the outcome of their lives, how wonderful it is when men of God lay down their lives, successfully run, spiritually successful before God, the children in subjection, the family of God and the children of God highly blessed. How wonderful. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The unchangeable one is moving before us. He is the cloud. He is the Spirit. He is the Lord. There's no change in him. We do the changing. He changes not. He is the same. His word changes not. His spirit changes not. And yet he may do whatsoever pleases him. And the spirit may operate this way or that way. But the change is always in us. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. Blessed be his name. Oh, how wonderful to be in fellowship with him, the Lord of glory. Someday, all his people will be gathered home, and who knows how soon it will be. And then we'll all be on the same footing, undivided. Then we'll understand. Then we'll see. Now we only know in part, and we understand in part, and we look through a glass darkly, and we're trying to grope around, and with failures and faults we move on. Until that day when all of a sudden we're going to see and we're going to understand and it's going to be clear to us. One more verse. Be not carried about with diverse and strange teachings. Don't be carried over to, the original says here, don't be carried over to different kinds and strange teachings. And this world is filled with different kinds and strange teachings. Whether it has to do with methods of operation or teachings of character or ways of life or teachings concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the scriptures. Oh, there are so many notions and philosophies and ideas and thoughts that are going around today. You almost are ashamed at the multiplicity of coming and going. How wonderful to turn back to the basic, solid Word of God. Let's go back to the book. Let's test everything by the book. My notion is not enough. My notion must be fully supported by the Word of God. Don't be carried over to strange and different kinds of teaching, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Be sure that the grace of God is upon you. Be sure that you can pray together in harmony. Be sure that you can throw arms around one another, shake hands firmly, look each other in the face, and be reminded that you're in common bonds together. Let your heart be established with grace. Let the grace of God be upon you. Walk in the grace of God, filled with himself, loving him and loving those who love him. Be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied thereby. That's enough. That's all. Closing remarks for the 55th annual conference. It's been a good conference. God has spoken to us. The Word of God has been opened. The methods have been different. The people change. Oh, brethren, there's one who remains the same. He changes not. His word is fresh. His spirit is prompting. His spirit is producing. He is accomplishing, he's moving, he's doing. Let's be as those who are under his way, in his hand. A lamp stands in the day in which we're living. The light